Hey friends, welcome to Naked in Truth, the podcast that's designed to open up your mind, to help you break down walls and barriers in your life that you might not even know exist yet. But don't worry, every wall that we break down together on this podcast allows you the opportunity to level up and create your impact. With that being said, I think it's time for us to get honest, vulnerable, and naked in truth. Welcome back to the Naked in Truth podcast. It is your host and your coach, Sari D, and I am so excited for today's episode because I know that you guys have been anticipating this one. So just to give a little bit of a backstory, my husband and I, we recently traveled in January to the Dominican Republic to go and celebrate our fifth wedding anniversary and my 30th birthday. So two really big milestones. They actually fall on the same day, but we wanted to make sure that we took some time to spend with each other. Last year was an extremely hard and challenging year for us in a lot of different ways. You know, we went through more last year than I think a lot of people do in 10 to 20 years, but we made it through to tell the story, and we really wanted to make sure that this trip was special, not just for the fact that it was such a milestone year for us, but just for the fact that we are both business owners. We don't take very much time off of work. You know, a lot of the time we are working 7 days a week with different tasks and responsibilities that we're getting done. So it was just time to have some quality time together. We decided that we wanted to go for 2 weeks and we booked with the Secrets Resorts. So we're really big fans of them. I do like high-end travel. Call me a princess, but there's some things that I do like to invest extra money into. You know, I will hardly buy myself new clothes, but if I can pay a good chunk of money for an amazing experience or education, I'm all in. I was always laughing with my husband that I always seem to make massive purchases. I don't purchase like little stuff all the time. That just isn't me. But I do like a good investment for a luxurious holiday. So we decided to go between two different Secrets Resorts for those 2 weeks. And really, guys, we were so excited for this trip. But if I can be completely honest with you, this trip really started back in 2020. So in 2020, it was my husband's 30th birthday. And for his birthday gift, I purchased him a trip to the first resort that we went to, which was Secrets Cap Cana. Now, you guys know what 2020 was and what took place. So with all the travel restrictions, we ended up having to cancel. So then I rebooked and then travel restrictions went through again. So then I canceled and then rebooked again and travel restrictions went through again. So I finally just canceled it. And we were really disappointed because obviously we were excited to go try out a new country together. And like, what a sweet birthday gift. Am I right? Okay. I don't even think I'm biased on that one, but we didn't end up getting to go. And so now for my 30th birthday, we're like, let's go get her done. So we booked and we really were in a position where when we were leaving, we needed to have a layover in Toronto. So we had purchased a hotel room. Now, you guys know what Toronto hotel costs are like, and maybe you don't, but they are astronomical, okay? Especially if you're by the airport. And the truth is like you're flying in late, you're flying out early, like you don't want to invest a bunch of money into this. So because I was a points member with a certain group, I'm not even going to name the hotel, but I decided to prepay for the rate to get a better discount on the rate. Well, when we were about to leave, you know, I kind of had this weird feeling in my stomach, and I had told my husband a couple weeks prior that I was like, I'm just not sure about this trip. Like, I think it's going to be great, but I just kind of have a weird feeling. Well, my intuition serves me well, and that's why we always listen to it, right, ladies? But when we were leaving, all of a sudden we started getting about 12 hours before we were about to leave that our flight was delayed. And the first delayed notification came through. And of course, you're a little bit bummed, but you're like, ah, okay, it's going to be good. But then the second one came through. And then the third one came through. And then the fourth one came through. And then the fifth one came through. I'm not kidding, guys. And then the sixth delayed notification came through, and this was saying that we weren't going to be leaving until the next day. Now, keep in mind, it is like we were supposed to leave, like, I think it was like 10 p.m. or maybe it was like 6 p.m. and get there at 10 p.m. that night. And now we're like 10 p.m. to midnight-ish, okay, of the night that we were already supposed to leave, saying that we're not leaving until the next day. Then all of a sudden the cancellation notice comes through that they're actually canceling the flight altogether. And I was like, okay, we're off to a little bit of a tough start, but that is okay. Still staying positive. I never got stressed about it. And that in and of itself goes to show how much work I've put into my stress management. You know, things like that used to set me off so much. Man, even just the littlest things used to set me off into being such a stress case. So I was just really excited to see that I'm completely taking a different approach to handling things that are out of our control, right? Because there's always going to be these things in life that are out of our control. And it really comes down to how we choose to handle them, because they're always going to happen, okay? It doesn't mean that it needs to wreck our life, because sometimes we have things out of our control more often than not, depending on the season. But we can make that season that much more challenging for ourselves if we aren't responding to it in a good way and we're just working ourselves up. So a little side lesson there. But we had to find flights last minute, and we're like, we are not missing our first day. We need to get this done. So obviously we're missing our hotel in Toronto that night. So I call them. Is there anything that they can do with the flight delay? No, unfortunately not. Like, you just lose the hotel, nor do you get points for it, even though you prepaid for it. So just because we didn't stay in the hotel room, we didn't get the points for it. And me being a points junkie, I was like, I don't see how that's fair, but okay, whatever, let it go. So we end up getting the new flights, and I think we had to be at the airport at like 6 a.m. So we barely slept that night, right? And once we got to the airport, I was excited, I was feeling good, and I was just ready for this trip. Now, I had not been on an airplane in quite a little while, you know, a couple years. Actually, that's a lie. I was on an airplane the year prior going to Mexico, but they're just not my favorite things to be on, if I'm being honest with you. I'm a little bit of a control freak. I prefer driving, knowing that all my wheels are on the ground. It makes me a little bit uneasy knowing that we're like so high up in the air. But I know that, you know, when it comes to accidents with airlines, it's actually very rare when you look at how many people get into accidents on the road. But again, it's perception, right? How we view things. So I was a little bit nervous just because we usually have only flown to Mexico or to the States. So, you know, you're flying over a little bit more water. It's a different country. But I was excited. That's the biggest lesson that I want you guys to know, is that you can have your fear be excitement, right? It's all how you choose to look at it. So maybe your heart's beating a little bit faster. Maybe you got those butterflies going on in your tummy. Maybe your palms are a little bit sweaty. That doesn't need to equal fear. That can equal excitement. So that's what I was trying to do, is just recognize, like, this is about to be a trip of a lifetime. I am so excited. So we make it, and man, that airplane, I'm like, how do we keep investing so much into our airline tickets, but the planes don't get any better? Regardless though, it was pretty good for the flight overall. And I was just genuinely so excited as we were coming into the landing, because the clouds, the way that they were, like, it must be due to the humidity and just the air pressure changes compared to what we usually see. It was like nothing I've seen before. You're like floating in the midst of these clouds. Like, I'm going to have to post some videos for you guys, because it genuinely was the coolest thing I had seen in the sky in a very long time. So when we got there, we decided that we were going to use like a VIP service with the airport. And it was really cool for the fact that we were able to literally walk off the plane. And this was the first country that I had ever been to where you actually walk the tarmac. And so it was super hot, right? You're like still semi in your winter clothes, especially leaving Canada. And everybody else was going on a bus, but we had somebody there with our little sign and a little golf cart, and grabbed us and our and I think it was just our carry-on bags. I don't think that they grabbed our suitcases at the time, but brought us into their VIP lounge. you know, I think they had wine, they had Dominican beer, and I am not a beer drinker, but I had one of these Dominican beers and it was so good. I was extremely impressed. So I enjoyed one of those. They had some snacks for you, and it was just really nice not having to stand in the customs line and, you know, the whole thing. But my husband looked at how many flights were coming in at that time, and that was really the big determination as to why we were going to do that VIP service. But keep in mind, we ended up taking a different plane. So I don't think it was actually that busy at the time of arrival, but it made you feel like a superstar. You know what I mean? So they ended up getting our bags, checked everything, did customs, and it was quite quick. We were very impressed overall. So we then took a private transfer in one of these really nice SUVs to the resort. It was such a shift in regards to culture, driving, you know, everything, the vehicles that they're using. Some of these guys, like, they use a lot of mopeds and things like that. And like, some of them have like all of their tools that they would be using for a day. Like, one guy had a compressor on there with all of his tools. I was like, damn, like, do these guys know how to stack things? Then there was these trucks that have like, just think of like a regular truck, and like the flatbed of the truck has like wooden structures built on the sides so that people can hang on. And, you know, I noticed that the people in the back of the trucks were like a different shade of color than majority of the Dominicans that we were seeing. And I was like, are these the Haitians? And so I had asked the driver as to like, is it mostly like construction workers that go on the back of these trucks? Like, is it Dominicans that they're transporting to and from work? And I ended up finding out that it is actually the Haitians. And a lot of the time they have them on the backs of the trucks so that if immigration comes, they're able to just run for it. They don't have to worry about like trying to get their seatbelt off or getting out of the truck. So I thought that that was really interesting. But what's crazy is that these guys are on the backs of these trucks, whether it's raining, whether it's, you know, 30 some degrees out there. And it really makes you recognize what a different lifestyle everybody has. So we were driving to Cap Cana at that time, and like, traffic is so different than anything that I've seen before. Like, Mexico is one thing, but this is even more complex. They have tons of roundabouts, all without lights. There are multiple lane roundabouts and really make you wonder, like, how does everybody know when it's time to go, right? But regardless though, I love that kind of stuff. I love being able to see different cultures, how they live, take time to appreciate everything that I have, because a lot of the time we don't recognize how much we have, especially in the westernized countries. We just want more and more and more. And it isn't until those things get taken away from us that we actually take time to recognize what we have. So as we're going to Cap Cana, it was just really interesting because you would presume that it's all like tropical and beautiful and lush. But one thing that really sat differently with me is the amount of garbage that I would see outside of the resort. So I did some research because that's the nerd that I am. And I think that they had said that there was 15 different garbage disposals in the entire island. It's a small island, but majority of the garbage only makes it to one of them. I've also done some reading, and a lot of the garbage bags that they use are blue. Now, whether this is true or not, it's so that if they go into the ocean, they blend better, which does not sit well with me. You know, I'm not a huge fan of this carbon tax that we're getting charged in Canada. I think that when it comes to climate change and trying to save the environment, we need to focus on what we're dumping in the ocean. We need to focus on actually having incinerators that can burn our garbage without putting the toxins into the atmosphere. And like, you can't tell me that there's not carbon captures to be able to do that. I know that cement companies have the ability to do that. I know that there's so many ways for us to be able to like build this underground bunker at the garbage sites that does the burning and doesn't allow for these fumes to hurt the atmosphere as it's being burned. But the fact that we're just allowing for so much garbage to seep into our soils, to seep into our water systems, to blow all over, to get trapped in the ocean, to affect wildlife. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, why we're paying more money so that we're getting charged to output more carbon, but yet we have no control on how that money's actually being spent is ridiculous to me. And I hope that this makes sense to anybody else. Like, we shouldn't be charged more. What needs to happen is that, like, if plastic is a huge issue, which it evidently is in every single country, and you look at countries like Canada, where a lot of our like plastic bags and like the different type of plastic like that was getting purchased by countries like China, and they were doing whatever with it, remaking it into different things. And now they no longer buy it, which is a big reason as to why we switch from those plastic bags. So to me, it's like, if we can't do anything with these things, if we're not willing to recycle and reuse, it shouldn't be up to the consumer. It should be up to these businesses where they have a certain time period that they need to change over how they're doing things. And if they do, then they'll get this incentive from the government getting paid out with the changes that they're making in X amount of years to stop producing things that we can't recycle. And if we're doing this, we just say that as of today, we are no longer going to be producing plastic. So any new businesses that are wanting to produce anything, you can't produce it unless we can recycle or reuse it. Like, this is a no-brainer. And then if these companies, these big companies that are producing a whole bunch of toxins into this world, producing things that we're now not able to recycle and are affecting our animals, our lands, our years to come, then, and letting off so many extremely toxic gases in these garbage dumps, then they need to be taxed, right? They should be the ones paying the taxes. Like, this is just a no-brainer to me, but for some reason, it's just always us bending over to pay a new tax. So if you care about the climate and you care about the environment, recognize that there's ways that we can do this that's actually going to benefit us long-term instead of us just paying more money and wondering where that money's going, okay? Now, when it comes to the Dominican itself, you know, that was really heartbreaking to me because nobody's picking up this garbage, right? And I'm like, what is the next 10 to 15 years going to look like? What does the ocean surrounding it currently look like? It's absolutely heartbreaking. You know, like, you even look at things like, I was watching a documentary about those Vegas tunnels and how people like live underground, and that's where the rainwater comes through and it washes it all into a lake. Well, think of all of the garbage and the, like, people live underneath there. So you got beds, you got literally everything that you can possibly think of all being washed into this lake. My mind is just blown on what we do sometimes. But anyways, side tangent, I hope that hit you guys in the heart because I am very passionate about that. Once we get into the gated community of Cap Canada, it's just completely different, right? You don't really have much garbage that you're seeing anymore. And the resort that we stayed at, Secrets Cap Canada, was absolutely gorgeous. Truly the most beautiful beach that I have ever seen in my entire life. You know, the rooms themselves, they were all right. Not anything that I would like scream home about. But the most disappointing part was that when we got there, we opened up our suitcases and I had a brand new white dress jacket that I had never worn before, freshly washed. And I look at it and there's grease stains all over it. And so somebody went rummaging through our bags that had either like grease on their fingers or grease on their gloves, and it dirtied the jacket. And I'm obviously sad because I'm like, either I have to send this for dry cleaning or I'm not going to be able to wear it this trip, but not a huge deal. You know, you expect people to go through your bags. But where I was really disappointed was that my husband checked his bag and his Chanel cologne ended up being stolen. And I know that it got stolen by whoever decided to go through our bags solely for the fact that we ended up checking with my mom because she was watching our place. Like, did we leave it on the counter somewhere? Did we, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just forget shit and nowhere to be found. So it was really disappointing because the chances are is that it probably happened through that VIP service. Now, regardless though, you can't Like, there's going to be shady people at the airport. There's going to be shady people all over the world, no matter where you travel. So that's why it's so important to make sure that, like, your money and your valuables and anything that you're taking with you of value needs to stay in your carry-on. Obviously, perfume or cologne isn't going to work because it's too much liquid to be able to carry with you. Shit happens. It is what it is. But it's another like $150 that we're down again, right? On top of that hotel room. So regardless though, we ended up having an incredible time at Cap Cana. It was really so much fun. The only thing that I would say is that it really is an older adult only, you know, for the cost of what they charge. I understand why there's not a lot of younger people going there. The food was pretty good, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, it just doesn't live up to Mexico. We are just huge fans of the food in Mexico. So in and of itself, we tried different things. It was good. There was lots of different options, lots of different restaurants. But what really stood out for this property was their evening entertainment. Like, they had an Alicia Keys show. That one was on my birthday. It was amazing. I know that they had Beyonce. We didn't end up going to that one. There was, Queen. There's a couple other others that I'm not remembering, which is why I tell myself every single time that I'm going to journal every single time that I travel. Yeah, I don't do that. Hopefully I'm going to grow into that habit because it would be so nice to be able to look back and not just try to use your memory on these things. But overall, the entertainment really was much higher quality, much better show production compared to what we typically see in Mexico. Usually Mexico, it's always the same shows all the time. So it was just nice switching it up and being able to enjoy it. For some of the activities, I was able to do different crafts because I'm a huge craft maker. So we did some macrame. We made like keychains and a bracelet. That was on my birthday and I really enjoyed that one. We went for a bike ride outside and ended up touring this like gated community that was, these houses are insane, guys. So gorgeous. Ended up having this gorgeous view of the ocean at the end of the bike ride where we were up on these rocks and it was a view that I've never seen in my entire life. Like, I was like, damn, like, I've been to the ocean, but this is a view. What else was some of the things that we did? I don't know. I'm kind of blanking on anything else that we did. Just dancing lessons. I did do some dancing lessons. So that was really cool. They have sports that you can play there. So, you know, Alex did baseball/softball the one day. There's like pool volleyball, like Pilates in the pool/yoga in the pool, different things like that. We didn't do a ton of pool activities at this one. We did do like beanbag tosses and darts. But the crazy part was that there was one full day of rain there. And unfortunately, they didn't have any indoor activities. So that was different for us because usually if there's a rain day, there's always things for you to do indoor. So we actually almost felt a little bit bored, dare we say, that day. Now, after that, we ended up being there. I think we were there for 5 nights, I wanted to say. And then we were going, maybe it was six nights, Monday to the Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh no, so that is only 5 nights. And then we went over to Secrets Royal Beach. Now we knew that Secrets Royal Beach was not going to be as nice as Secrets Cap Cana. I really enjoyed the transfer over there. Again, we did a private transfer. It's just so much nicer. Like, the quality of the vehicle, you just feel like a VIP. It's like a really nice Escalade that they're using and you're just so comfortable and it's always a good driver. I always try to have conversation and get to know these people, even with broken English. So we were using like some Google Translate on some things, but it was really cool. And I love being able to drive through and just see the differences between countries and cities, and that stuff is what really interests me. So that was one of my favorite parts, was actually just the transfer from Cap Cana to Secrets Royal Beach, because we then went over to an area in Punta Cana. So Cap Cana is in Punta Cana, and the area where Secrets Royal Beach, is Bavaro. So a little bit of different areas in Punta Cana. It was about a half hour drive, and we went through the city of Punta Cana. And, you know, they have all Americanized things there. You know, there's KFC, there's Starbucks, there's, which is kind of lame because, yes, of course, it's great to have the comforts of home. Like, they have Pizza Hut that's delivered on mopeds. They have those little tuk-tuk things, right? Like those little tiny vehicles to transport people around that you typically see in India and places like that. So I was surprised that they had those as well. But a lot of poverty, a lot of people just kind of hanging around. You can tell that they probably don't do much during the day. It was interesting. You know, it was very vast. It would go from really rich to really poor, really rich to really poor. And Dominican in and of itself is not a third world country. I know a lot of people think that, but it's actually a second world country. They have a really good GDP. And so when you're looking at something like that, there's obviously a lot of challenges with what's going on in Haiti. I'm not going to get into that because it's something that I'm extremely, extremely, extremely passionate about what's taking place there and the way that they're being victimized. If you're unsure of what's going on, go do some research yourself. Go see how Haiti was actually the richest country in the Western Hemisphere back in the early 1900s, possibly late 1800s, if I'm wrong on my dates here. And how all of that has been taken away from them to become one of the poorest countries in the world now. Regardless, though, we decided that Secrets Royal Beach was a totally different experience than what we were anticipating. Because in Cap Cana, it was a gated community. It was a private beach. You know, you didn't have anybody coming up to you. The seaweed was cleared all the time. Where Secrets Royal Beach, it was a public beach. So immediately as you stepped on that beach, you are attacked by these beach vendors. And some of them are some really shady people. I'm just going to be honest. The first time that we went on the beach, they invited us to their mall. So we were intrigued. We're like, okay. So we go for a walk with them and we recognize that, you know, you have to be careful with these people. Like, do not flash your money. Be ready to barter. Do not feel like you need to say yes to them in any way, shape, or form simply because you came to come and look at their store. But their mall was like something I've never seen before. It was underground, first of all concrete. And as you're walking up to it, there's some people cooking outdoors with some tables. But I've never felt eyes on me the way that I did there. And as you start walking into this dingy tunnel, like the lights are flickering and you're like, am I walking into a horror story here? People leaning on the walls. And like I said, like you can feel the eyes on you. And I was like, hey, there's some gang activity going down here. So he brings us into this shady shop and, you know, cigars are a big thing in the Dominican. So he's trying to peddle some cigars and we're like, we're just looking and, you know, all sorts of different knickknacks, I guess is the best way to put it. The bracelets, the ornaments, all just the things that you typically see in a store, a tourist store, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, there was tons of different stores in this underground tunnel. Okay. It was just like brick wall on one side, or not brick wall, sorry, cement wall on one side, cement roof, and then the little stores that were on the left-hand side. And so we ended up buying something and we had to really barter him down. He was definitely trying to rip us off. But the interesting part was seeing how many hands the money filtered through. And it was just an uncomfortable feeling that when we left there, we were like, yeah, we're not going to be doing that one again. So regardless, though, it's a really cool opportunity with this beach because you can walk miles and there's all different hotels that you're going to pass, Airbnbs, restaurants that are on the beach, different stores that people have. And we ended up finding some stores that we really enjoyed that we found were more our style, you know. One of the guys had Canadians that were friends of his, and it just makes you feel more at home, especially when you feel like they're genuinely trying to have a conversation with you, that they're not just trying to rip you off. Now, what was really interesting about this to me as well is that they had so many water sports going on at once right in front of you. So like in the water, you had all of these different boats. Like one was a massive pirate ship that you were able to like go on this like Pirates of the Caribbean tour kind of thing. And then different tour boats that take you snorkeling and fishing and so on and so forth. Then you had the guys that were parasailing up in the air, and there was like seven of them going on at once. And I'm like, how is nobody tangling into each other? Like, this is absolutely nuts. So there was so many things going on, and people were ripping fast, and there was people swimming. And I'm just like, it's a lot, right? Compared to what we're used to seeing in Canada and things like that. But no matter what, it was just great that they had different activities that you could go and do. Now, overall, the food quality was not great. You could tell that a lot of things were left out a lot later. You know, the drinks weren't very good. You could tell that they were quite watered down, just not amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it was okay, but it was not amazing. The rooms were not good whatsoever. Like, we ended up changing rooms and complaining because the first room, it was like, they had a glass shower door and it would only open a few, like I would say like a foot. And then you had to push the glass against like their like, I don't know if it's marble or whatever, but like some sort of stone floor. And so you're like wondering if you're going to shatter this thing. And honestly, looking at reviews and stuff after, you know, we should have done more research into the resort itself, but we had a recommendation from a family member to go and check it out. And so you always want to trust what they're saying, right? But overall, I think we would have enjoyed the Breathless a little bit better. The cool part was that it was attached to a Dreams. So it falls under the AM Resorts, which is now Hyatt portfolio. But Dreams allows you to have the kids there. Now, they had water slides over on that section. If we wanted to go and eat anywhere there, we could use any of their pools, watch their entertainment. So that was really cool. You know, this was the first resort that had so many different things for entertainment in regards to like, they had a pool, like where you could go shoot pool, do darts, karaoke. They had some instruments in there that you could play, like just kind of like a cool lounge hangout. Then they had like a video game area, lots of different board games. They had a machine that played old arcade games. There was a pinball machine in that lounge that I was talking about too. They had a club at this one because usually Secrets shuts down at about 1 a.m. So if you're looking to party a little bit later, it's definitely not the resort for you. But they had a casino and then a club that closed at 3 a.m. Okay. The club closed at 2 a.m., sorry, I'm pretty sure, and then the casino at 3 a.m. because they knew that everybody would come drunk after the club, go spend their money in the casino. Very, very smart. So they had like craps tables in there, poker tables, tons of different VLT machines. The entertainment was amazing at this resort, honestly. It was the same people doing the entertainment each night, which was a little bit different than what I typically would see at different resorts, but they would do all sorts of like flavorful spin-offs of things. Like one was a movie night, so they sung a whole bunch of different movie songs. One was like a tropical night, so they took like westernized music and made it really tropical. Like it was just really unique, which I thought was amazing. Where you watch the entertainment and how this hotel was set up in and of itself was a lot different. And to me, a risk for a lot of injuries to happen, a lot of mold to be able to grow because of the fact that it was like an open courtyard in the center of where the entertainment was, the hotel kind of built around it. And then where your rooms were, it was also open with a whole bunch of trees and beautiful plants and things like that, which is great because they would get the water when it rains. But these marble floors would get flooded when it rained, and it rains very often there. And it was just so dangerous that I was like, if anybody's wasted right now or somebody tries to run or an older person, like there's a lot of slip hazards in regards to that. So that was not a favorite of mine simply for the fact that you can see that there's a lot of damage being done to the rooms with the humidity and just the abundance of water, I think, that ends up coming through. So regardless though, you know, we're preferred club members. with Secrets Resorts, and they just didn't do a great job stocking the room. They wouldn't restock the snacks daily. They said that that's a one-time thing. I was like, says who? That is such a lie. You know, we had a butler. He was average. He didn't go above and beyond to really do anything for us. And actually, going back to Cap Cana, a lot of the time, they do amazing things for our birthday and anniversary because we've celebrated all of our birthdays, well, all of my birthdays slash anniversaries there. We've got married at a Secrets. Like, we've invested a lot of money into Secrets in regards to our stays. So generally in Mexico, they like to like run us rose petal baths and, you know, make the bed a really nice experience for us where there's like either different cards or designs, you know, making sure that we have the breakfast in our room the next day, making different reservations for us if we needed like a dinner reservation. Like, they've always just gone so above and beyond to make it a very special day for us. And we just didn't, like, we had to fight for it in Cap Cana. It was ridiculous. Luckily, my husband is good at pushing in regards to being like, yo, like, look at how much we invested here. If you are not going to recognize that this is a special day for us, like, we probably aren't going to come back, just so that you're aware of that, because this is something that Secrets is known for. This is not just us trying to pull some strings, but especially being preferred club members, you know, it's something that you should definitely have included. So regardless, though, we did have a really nice setup on my birthday. He did some designs on the bed, which was really cool, and left some beautiful cards, left some rose petals there, which was really nice, added some champagne into the room with some desserts, and then did a dinner reservation and gave me a really beautiful cake, and the whole entire restaurant sang to me, and I was so embarrassed, but it was such an amazing experience. It really was. I felt very special. So good for them. But to not even restock the snacks at Secrets Royal Beach was extremely disappointing, right? Like, if we needed our fridge restocked, it was just really hard to feel like we could get anything. And like, this is an all-inclusive resort. Like, you don't pay as much as you do to not get these services, right? Or else you'd just be at a regular hotel paying much, 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 much less, right? So when it came to the pools themselves, at Secrets Royal Beach, it was strange. There was no actual hot tubs. They were lukewarm, and apparently they always keep them that way. My assumption is that it is a bit of a younger crowd there, a lot more party than what Cap Cana was. So I think that people drink a lot more irresponsibly there, don't want people getting into the hot tub and getting completely messed up. So I think it's a liability thing, but how sad is it after like being in the pool all day, the sun starts to go down and you just want to take that like half hour hot tub and enjoy it. Regardless though, both of the rooms that we had tubs on the deck. That's like a big one for me. I absolutely love tubbing on the deck of our hotel rooms and looking at the stars, listening to a little bit of music, like, is a vibe in and of itself. So I was grateful that we had that to be able to go and do it. But at the same point too, we faced the Dreams Resort in our newer room that we got into the second night at Secrets Royal Beach. So it was just like weird. Like, you felt like you had to be really cautious. Like, you're facing like an area with kids, like, don't flash anybody. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, like, I'm not taking these baths in a bathing suit. So that's the thing about Secrets, is that it's an all inclusive adults resort, so that you're able to do those kinds of things and have those types of experiences. Like, this is not naked on the beach. This is not naked in the pools. I'm just saying, like, doing your own thing in your little tubbies on your deck. Now, the pool area, they had some sections that were quieter, and then they had some sections that had loud music all the time. And I'm talking about so loud that my husband and I would like cover our ears walking by like old people. Yet some of the old people were sitting closest to these speakers, and I'm like, it must be hearing loss. Maybe they just like enjoy being near the loud music. But it just got really repetitive. They would play the same songs all the time, you know, Despacito, Señorita. Like, they would take the westernized kind of Spanish songs and play them so much that it was just like, hey. But it was really cool. They had a couple of people come and play instruments with the music. So like a violinist, I think that there was a guitarist the one day. So that was really cool for sure. They did have some like events going on. if you were a preferred club member, you would have some upgraded events. I wanted to go and do this hat making the one day, and I ended up going to it 20 minutes early, and they had already started because a large group of people came and they just decided to start. So they wouldn't let me join. I was so disappointed. I was like, dude, I am early for this. I'm not even late. This is crazy. So I ended up doing macrame again. That was really fun, just being able to reteach myself. It was actually the same instructor that was at Capcana, so that was a really cool experience. We played a ton of beach volleyball, made a lot of friends at this resort, which was really nice because we made a couple of friends in Mexico when we went there last. But, you know, it's hard. You know what I mean? It's hard making friends when you're older. And it's nice having, you know, people roughly around your age or just people who are good in conversation and things like that. So it was nice making some friends. They were all Canadians. There was big conferences going on at both Capcana and Secrets Royal Beach while we were there. So it was quite full. It was extremely hard to get a beach chair. And if you look at any of the comments on TripAdvisor and things like that, like people going out at 6 a.m. trying to get a chair, like this is vacation. This is ridiculous. The resort is big enough that they should have more chairs 100%. So that was the biggest fight, was trying to get some chairs. But we really enjoyed our time there. You know, we didn't do any excursions while we were there. We were planning to do this party boat. We were going to do it on the Wednesday and we were supposed to leave on the Saturday, but it was so windy. That was one thing. Like, I was not anticipating the wind that was there. So we typically find like the weather in January, February in Mexico is really nice, but it gets cold in the evenings. Dominican, it was super hot and humid and hot in the evenings, but a ton of cloud cover we ended up having. Quite a bit of rain, and one day, like I said, at Capcana, where it rained for the full day, and it was so blanking windy. And it's like, I'm from Saskatchewan. If I wanted a windy vacation, I would have just stayed here in summer, let me tell you. So it was just a little bit disappointing because the first day you're like, I'm from Saskatchewan, I can handle the wind. The second day you're like, okay, it's still here. The third day you're like, okay, this is starting to tire me out. Like, wind is tiring. It bothers your ears. It's just annoying, right? And then you can go from feeling hot to feeling a little bit chilly depending on the wind. And especially if all of a sudden the sun's being covered. So overall, the weather was meh, which was unfortunate. The only thing that was nice was not feeling like I had to be covered up in a dress jacket in the evenings because it was actually warm enough in the evenings for me. Now, when it came to the Wednesday, we decided that we weren't going to go and do this party boat. So what it was that it was 2 hours, I think, there and back kind of thing. And so they take you out to the ocean. You do this snorkeling in this certain area, and then they take you back and you do this party on the boat with snacks and drinks and all this kind of stuff. And we thought it would be really cool, maybe meet some new people. But on the Wednesday, I think we decided not to because of we were either tired or the weather. And then on Thursday, we were planning to do it, but I just didn't feel 100%. And I was like, I can't even pinpoint what it is. Like, it's not even like I have a stomach ache or a headache, or I feel like I have a cold or something. Like, I just didn't feel 100%. And my husband was like, you know what, Sarah? I actually don't feel 100% either. And I was like, really? Because you don't want to be the one that like is not making you go because you don't feel 100, but you get nervous because you're like, they don't really have first aid on these boats. If anything happens, you're in the middle of the ocean, and I just wasn't feeling it. And that's so not like me because I feel very confident in the ocean. The ocean doesn't scare me at all, but I was like, being on this boat in the middle of the ocean, currently feeling how I'm feeling, I don't know how I feel about this. Now, the funny part was that we also got invited on a boat tour, a private boat tour with some people that we met. They rented it just for themselves to go out to, I always pronounce it wrong, but I think it's Sanoa Island. And it's supposed to be absolutely beautiful, but it was going to be like 10 to 12 hours of the day because of the transfer, the boat ride out there, spending the time, boat ride back and transfer again. And that was a lot for us. And that was supposed to be our last day there. So we ended up saying no to that. And thank goodness that we did, because I will get into it next. So we decided we weren't going to go on the party boat excursion on the Thursday. And so I went and did that macrame that afternoon. And we were like, you know what, if we're going to have some drinks, because I never got drunk the whole time, I'm going to have some drinks tonight so that if I'm hungover, then I'm going to be good to go for Saturday for leaving on the plane because we have Friday to just chill. So we ended up having the best night of our entire lives. I had so much fun. Guys, I am not a gambler, but I decided to try out craps. I really like guessing numbers. And so it was my very first time playing. My husband put down a dollar. The first number that I chose, lucky number 11 for me, hit on my very first time. So you can just imagine the excitement, the chips that I got. I was doing actually very, very well. So I had a ton of fun doing that. We did a bit of dancing. We watched the entertainment. Overall, it was a really, really fun night, but I definitely got drunk. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, I ended up projectile puking. Now, this is not 100% normal for me, but I also don't drink to get drunk, right? So sometimes these things happen. And I'm just being honest with you because it's going to tie into my story. So my husband helps me. He gets me to bed, got the garbage can beside me. And I wake up the next morning and I am death, literally. Okay. Like, I mean, so sick. I had a pain over my left eye that was like right in the crease. And you know, when you're hungover, it's like your whole head's pounding. No, it was like somebody took a screw gun and like literally was like driving a screw into there. Like, it was just the most painful pinching. I had a stomach ache. And you know, like when you're hungover, your stomach is usually like sore at the bottom. No, this was so much pressure at the top of my stomach, like right underneath my rib cage. It was stabbing me. And I was like, what is going on? This is insane. So of course I start puking and shitting out of both ends. And I'm like, great. I must be so hungover. But the issue is that my poop, if this is too much information, but we all do it, guys, this is life, we're the exact same color. And I was like, this is really strange. Like, I mean, like sitting on the toilet and having the garbage can in front of you, like that's how sick I was. And it's so humid in these rooms. Okay. They don't really have AC in this particular room. Like, it's not super high of AC. So you're like sweating and I'm starting to get dehydrated. And I can't keep a sip of water down. And I keep just trying to fall asleep. Then I'll wake up from a stomach pain and try to puke. And oh, it was just a complete mess. And I'm like, babe, I think I need to go and see a doctor. And for me to say that is a lot. And he's like, no. Like, I think that you're okay. Let's just try to get a gravel into you. And it's starting to be like 1 p.m. at this time. So I take the gravel, doesn't last more than 20 minutes, and this gravel is upchucked. And I was like, I can't keep anything down at this point, and I'm really starting to get dehydrated. And he's just like, hey, I think you do need to go and see a doctor. So we were trying to arrange with our butler. Like I said, he was not our favorite, but he eventually made it there. He got a golf cart for me because there was no way that I was in a condition where I could actually walk to the little medical center on resort. And so I end up going to this medical center and talking to the doctor. And originally, I think that this is all self-induced. I think that I overdrank, you know, when I was a lot younger, that I told you guys in my Sober Curious story, like I used to get super hungover. And a lot of that came from, I was on a lot of medications while I was younger. I used to be really sick all the time. I was on a lot of high intensity acne medications. That in and of itself can be a separate episode in regards to gut health and just overall health. But I used to get super, super sick. So me puking to the point of dehydration is not something that hasn't happened before. It's just something that hasn't happened in like years and years and years and years. Okay. So I call my mom because I'm starting to get really scared. And because when we got there, he started checking me out. I guess I'll start with this. He started checking me out. So first he went and got like one of those tongue compressors, just like a popsicle stick. And he's like, Kate, stick out your tongue. And he puts it on my tongue and there's literally no saliva. So anyways, he takes my temperature. I'm pretty much running a fever. He takes my heart rate. I have an increased heart rate, which is all signs of dehydration. So that stomach pain is not stopping. And I'm like, I need something to puke in. He tries to give me the garbage can in his office. And I'm like, nope, that's not going to work for me. Like, do you have a plastic bag? I'm not going to puke in the trash can. That is so disgusting. And he's just like, okay, goes and gets me this plastic bag. And Alex is like, Sarah, like, you really have nothing left to puke. And I'm like, no, I do. And it would just be like this hurl of just yellow, like so freaking yellow, guys. So my poor husband is like going through all this information with him because all they want is paperwork. And he's like, I really think that you need to go to the doctor. And he's like, I just don't have any medication. This is a key line here. I don't have any medication that's going to help you quick enough. And I said, where's the hospital? How far is it away? And he turns and points to the wall behind him, having a picture of this hospital. And he's just like, it's 20 minutes away. We'll get you an ambulance. And so I think it was like $150 or $200 USD just for this doctor's appointment with him. Then it was 350 USD. And any of my Canadians right now are like, oh, USD. Oh, because like you're running at like a 1.42 exchange rate. So you're almost 1.5 times of everything. Okay. So he's like, we'll call the ambulance right now. I'll try and help you out in the meantime of just getting you to stay calm and everything. And so Alex is like, shit, like I got to go get all the information for our travel insurance. Now, I want to tell you guys that I ended up having to use travel insurance back when I traveled to Mexico for the very first time with my family back in, I think it was 2007. Now, same thing ended up happening. I was coming from both ends. They took me to the Hacienda, the little medical center that they had on site at the hotel. I was extremely dehydrated. He recommended going to the hospital, and it was a private hospital that we went to, and it was so intense because that was my first time not seeing everybody be treated who needed to be treated. So they literally had the first set of sliding doors and then benches right when you walk inside, and then doors that are locked going into the hospital, because if you don't have the money to pay, you're not able to go in. Now, what I want you guys to remember too is that if you need urgent care, even if you have insurance, it takes a long ass time for insurance to kick in. They need to have confirmation from the hospital of what's being done, the amount of money that needs to be sent, so on and so forth. And this shit takes time, okay? So if you need immediate care, you're paying out of pocket because they will not touch you unless they have the money to start going. So in regards to my Mexico story, what are the chances I have an appendicitis while I'm there? So I end up having an appendectomy. They end up removing my appendix. They end up actually showing my mom the appendix, I think for legality reasons, that yes, we did actually remove from something from your daughter's body. The interesting part was that at the time in Canada, they were still making the big incision across the stomach to do the appendix surgery. They were actually further advanced in Mexico. And I just had the three little incisions where they like stuck the camera down the one and pulled out another. I don't know the full procedure, but I only had three, one being underneath my belly button, which was so nice instead of having this massive scar across my stomach. It was a beautiful private room that had a separate bed for my mom to be able to stay in. The other part as well was that they actually had a private chef there. So obviously I was restricted on what I could be eating, but if I wanted to, I could order whatever I wanted, even if it was like lobster, which is so crazy to think about. There was a lot of language barriers. You know, the nurses did not speak English. And then when it came to the doctors were actually from all over the world. So they did speak some English, but it was just really interesting because it wasn't Spanish, their first language either. So that in and of itself was definitely an interesting experience for me. It didn't scare me away from traveling. It didn't scare me away from Mexico. And going now to where I'm an adult and here this is happening again, that I'm going to have to go to a hospital in a different country, I'm like, holy smokes, like, what are the chances of this? So as we're waiting for the ambulance and Alex is getting all of the stuff together, we ended up, the doctor ended up getting me to fill out a bunch of paperwork, even though Alex just finished filling out a bunch of paperwork. He's just like getting me to initial. And I'm like death at this time, guys. I'm trying to beg him for a Pedialyte, beg him for a popsicle, just an ice cube, anything at this point, because I'm so dehydrated. And he's like, no, no, no. You just keep on throwing up. It's just going to hurt you even more. And I was like, I was pissed at that point. I'm like, let me suck on a friggin' ice cube right now. Like, this is insane. I'm dying. And so when I called my mom, I apologized and she's like, don't worry, baby. Like, it's all going to be okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm praying for you. It's all, you're going to make it out of this. Not mad at me that at this time we're thinking it's self-induced, even though none of the real symptoms that I'm having are actually of a hangover. Now, I started realizing that they didn't think that this was self-induced with the questions that they were asking. Like, where was the last place that you were on site? Then I'll get to, I guess, the other part next. But we're sitting there and the ambulance finally comes and it's this weird. So like their gurney is like this metal chair that folds down into a bed, but it like reminded me of like an execution chair. It was very strange. Now, remember how the doctor told me that he did not have any quick meds to be able to help me? Well, once the paramedics got there, he goes into his little locker and pulls out a saline bag solution to hydrate. And I was like, are you shitting me right now? So I'm just so in a messed up state that I don't say anything, which I wish I would have asked him why. Like, are you as a doctor not qualified to put in an IV line? Like, why would you have the saline bag solution, but you weren't able to give it to me when I'm like crying to literally be hydrated? Like, guys, I just kept saying, I just need help. I just need help. I just need somebody to help me. I literally thought that I was coming close to a point where I was potentially going to die because I was getting so dehydrated. I was starting to see like stars a little bit. You know, I was starting to fade out a little bit. And I've never passed out in my life ever from anything. And I was like, this might be the moment that I finally pass out. But anyways, they have me on the bed now that the paramedics are there. And the guy goes to put in my IV line. Now, if you flip your arm over for anybody who's listening and not watching on YouTube, they were doing the vein that runs up your forearm on the inner side, okay? Now, I'm a very polite person, especially when I am around anybody new, any professional settings. And this guy goes to stick that IV line in my arm and I scream, you motherfucker. And like, I've been through a lot medically. You know, I even broke my own toe the last, like a couple of years ago when I was traveling, I got it caught on my suitcase the night before I was leaving the suitcase wheel, busted my toe sideways and I popped it back into place. Like, I've experienced a little bit of pain in my life, but I have never, ever, ever felt pain like that before. And the doctor's got himself at my legs and he's like, it's okay. It's okay. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Alex is just like, what is going on right now? And I can tell that whatever he did was wrong because I just moved my wrist in the tiniest way and I could just feel so much pain of where that insertion site was. So regardless, I'm like, just get me to this fucking hospital at this point. So they get me on this weird ass gurney. And as I'm about to go out, I'm like really embarrassed. Okay. Like, I'm disheveled. We had finally made friends at this resort. People were starting to crowd around because there was an ambulance outside of the medical area, which was right beside the gym and the spa. And so I'm like, is there a lot of people out there to like, I'm assuming was the security guard. And he's like, there's a couple, not a lot. And I was like, okay, in his broken English, of course. And so they get me into the back of the ambulance and one of the main managers, I watch him take a picture of me on his phone. Now, the only reason that I can think as to why he would want a photo of me is so that he can go back on his security cameras and see where I was last night to see where I potentially ended up getting sick because it was not a hangover that I had, but we'll get into that. The ambulance ride was the scariest part of all, okay? I don't know if you guys have ever been in an ambulance before. I hope that you haven't. I hope that you never will. You know, in Canada, I can't say for the States, but I presume our ambulances are the same. they are quite large. They're quite spacious. This was like the back of a van. So you just had enough room for my gurney in there. There was a little bench for the paramedic and Alex to sit on. And I had this bag that I was puking in, right? And I'm like, I'm going to puke again. And Alex is like, babe, like, I swear you have nothing else that you need to puke. But all of a sudden I felt tension from that spot where I had the pain in my upper stomach. And it was like blocking my airway. And all of a sudden I was getting so much pressure over my head. I thought in that moment I was going to die. And I end up projectile vomiting, missing the bag, puking all over myself. And like, thank God it's not like chunky puke. I'm sorry if this is too graphic for anybody. It was just that yellow, yellow liquid, but it was so much. And Alex is like, how did she even puke that? But this is where the interesting part comes in. Okay, guys, it's plus 30. I'm dehydrated. I'm running a fever. There's no air conditioning in this van. It is stop, start, stop, start. Like your people drive so close to each other. It is absolutely astonishing. That's why there's so many accidents. That's why there's dings on every single vehicle. They drive like maniacs there. So you can just imagine being so sick and it's like, huh, 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 start, stop, weave, 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 wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo for 20 minutes. This 20 minutes felt like 2 freaking hours. Now my husband is sitting sideways in the back of the van. Poor guy is actually, he gets motion sickness. So I look at him and I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, get him a bag. Poor guy starts puking in the back of the ambulance with me. I'm like, so I'm trying to support him. And I'm just like, what is actually happening? But luckily the IV was starting to kick in, the saline solution. So I was starting to get a little bit better as we got closer to the hospital. But I was scared. I was like, I don't know what this is going to be like. So they took me to Hospitan Bavaro, which is a tourist hospital. The whole section of where we were was all different tourists. I was right in front of the insurance claims desk, which was the most bumping part of the hospital because they won't do anything without money. You know, the nurses there were some of the meanest women that we've ever come across in our life. And I don't know if it's simply for the fact that they're in a higher position as females. So they felt like they needed to be strong and tough. If it's a culture thing, you know, not that I'm saying that all Dominican women are mean. This is not what I'm saying whatsoever. Just in the hospital, it was very strange. You know, that's a time when you need somebody caring. You're nervous. You're in a different country. You don't know how much this is going to cost. And we ran into a really funny, like funny, peculiar issue. So when we first got to the Dominican, my husband was having some issues with his data. He actually ended up shutting his data off. When you're not on resort, you don't have Wi-Fi. He only brought his phone charger and we have two different chargers. My phone is about to die and his phone doesn't have data. So he can't call out. So we're trying to make all the calls through to insurance, which in a day was probably, I shit you not, 15 to 20 phone calls. So regardless, they wouldn't really do anything with me until the claim went through. So we had a gastro doctor come in, so stomach doctor. What was so interesting, guys, was like they did nothing to really check me out. And when I look back at my paperwork, like they would say things like, your eyes are clear. Like she never looked in my eyes, you know, all of these things that they checked over, but they actually didn't. So that was very interesting to me. But they took some blood tests. And just when she was pressing on my stomach, she's like, yeah, you have a gastrointestinal infection. We're going to need you to stay overnight. The cost to stay overnight is going to be $4,000 USD. Now, keep in mind, guys, that as I mentioned with my Mexico story, it's so important that you do have extra funds while you're traveling. Because if you need immediate attention and you don't have that money, but you're waiting for your travel insurance to kick in, you're just going to be waiting. Like they don't care. They don't care if you die, okay? Which is absolutely disgusting. But it's true. They just want to make sure that they're getting the money for what they need. So gratefully, we are the kind of people who travel with that kind of extra money, right? So not that we have it in cash or anything, but we would be able to make a payment if need be. Luckily, I wasn't dying and I was feeling a lot better once they got the saline solution into me. And then they started putting me on some meds and things like that. But I just was so thirsty and I was like, can you please get me a Pedialyte or something? And they wouldn't. And I just kept begging and begging and begging, asking all different people. And the reason why they wouldn't bring me that Pedialyte is because our insurance hadn't gone through yet. And I'm like, I will pay you out of my pocket for this damn Pedialyte. Like, I'm just so thirsty. Please let me drink something. And so my husband ended up having to order food through the security guard. So he ended up getting some tacos with some Diet Coke, classic, okay? Now, this is the worst thing that I could be doing, but I was so bloody thirsty and nobody would get me anything that I decided to take a drink of his Diet Coke. Like, I know, not the smartest thing to do in the world. I know this very much myself, but when you feel like you are so freaking thirsty that you would lick a wet floor at this point, you're going to do it, okay? And what are the chances that I have the bottle with me and this nurse comes in and she's like, you, no Diet Coke. And I was like, well, you wouldn't give me anything to drink. And then she looks at my husband and points at him and she's like, you, no Diet Coke for her. And she like sternly gives him the bottle and we're like, sorry, sorry. And so anyways, she did end up coming back with a Pedialyte. She's like, damn, like this chick doesn't stop. But it's like, hey, like I'm so thirsty. And if anybody knows me, like thirst is like my biggest fear. I always travel with water. Like I will not do anything if I don't have water with me. So this is like already my worst nightmare just from not having my own water with me. Now, in regards to the insurance, it took hours. Like we would have gotten there probably about 4 o'clock-ish. And it wasn't until after 9 that we ended up getting the insurance through and that they would take me out of that emergency room and put me up on the next floor. Now, listening to everybody's stories, their horror stories, like people are yelling at these insurance people because it is such a scam and they really just want people to, they really just want the person that they brought in there to be okay. And the cost of it is just absurd. And if insurance is taking a long time and somebody needs treatment, like I understand why people are getting frustrated. You know, there's a lot of loopholes that the hospital itself and the insurance company try to jump through to not be able to help you because nobody really wants to pay the money. But what was interesting was that in order for me to get that room, they needed written confirmation of the hospital of what was going to be done, the total dollar value, so that they could put it through. There's a lot of back and forth because they didn't detail what it was going to be. It was like an estimate, okay? So regardless, finally, the insurance company puts it through. We get upstairs to the room, and this is where things were very interesting. So we get taken up this elevator by our mean favorite nurse, and they open up the doors, and that's where like the nursing station was, and there was 2 nurses, a male and a female, and they're just looking at their phones, obviously on TikTok or something, and they just like look up to me, no smile, no hello, no welcome, no nothing, and just go back to their phone. And so they say something in Spanish, I think whatever room number I was supposed to go to, and she turns the wheelchair. And it's this hallway that looks like I'm in a mental institution. It's all metal doors on each of these private rooms that lock from the outside. And I'm just like looking at these doors as I'm going by, and like it just was all like a bad dream. And so I get taken into this room and it's really nice. It's extremely clean. You know, there was 2 separate beds for Alex and I. They had this cute little toiletries kit that had like a shampoo and, or sorry, like a shampoo body wash all in one, a toothbrush and toothpaste, which I needed to jump on immediately after all that puking, a comb. And I think that that was it, but like enough to get you by if you needed to take a shower. Except for the thing was that the shower didn't have a door, but that was a different thing. Regardless, it was so clean in there that they literally had cleaning staff come in multiple times. Like, do you want me to dust? Do you want? And I'm like, no, like I'm good. Whereas like, you know, any Canadian hospital, it's like, you're lucky if you see cleaning staff that often, let alone coming into your room to do like top end, like you can smell how clean it is in there. So that was at least reassuring, right? So they gave me this. So like all that they would give me to eat was like this sweet potato. I don't even know if it was fully sweet potato because there was these strings in it, but it was like a sweet potato broth with a juice box. And I'm thinking like, why are you giving me a juice box with sugar? But I was so hungry. I was so thirsty. I just didn't even freaking care at that point. You know, Alex and I were looking around the room and I was wondering, because we're on the second floor, and if you look outside of the window, there's like this tin roof. So nobody could access it. And like, it looks like the yard's all blocked off and it's got like the curly security fence at the top where like, if anybody tries to climb it, like you're going to get caught and hurt. But what was weird was that there was a big crack in our window. And I was like, there's no like center spot where somebody would have thrown a rock. I was like, I don't know how somebody would have, like, I just don't know what would have caused this. And Alex is like, that's somebody trying to get out. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's where we are. So that was very interesting, because you hear a lot of scary stories, right? Like, they have security guards there for a reason. You know, doing my own research, because I started to get a little bit obsessed. It's crazy. We're really grateful to have the story that we did. But the issue was that we were supposed to leave the next morning and like literally be at the airport for 8 a.m. But they wanted us to stay overnight, and the gastro doctor wasn't going to be in until like 9, they said, the following day. So we knew that we were missing our flights. Like, no getting reimbursed for these, like just fully out of pocket missed. So we were supposed to be talking with this public relations person who was supposed to help set us up with new flights. Absolutely useless, didn't do a thing for us. So it was my husband trying to scramble using my phone the whole time. So there was times where he would leave as well, because my phone would eventually die and he'd need to go and talk to public relations or these insurance people. And I'd be by myself in the room, like nobody. And you don't have a phone, you're just by yourself. And it was just really unfortunate, because we made it through the night. The next morning, they brought me that same broth and juice box for breakfast. Okay. And the doctor didn't end up coming until like 10:30, 11. Finally, she says like, yeah, no, you're good to go. You can be discharged. I think you're going to be good enough to go home, because I didn't puke. Everything's getting a little bit back to normal for me. My temperature came down. My heart rate was okay. Not like she even actually checked that though. But I could just feel that, right? It's so weird to even say that they didn't even check that. But she just did like a little bit of a stomach exam. How am I doing? How am I feeling? Yeah, I think you're good enough to go. So we're kind of laying there expecting that somebody's going to come in and tell us something. And a couple hours go by and we're like, nobody's coming. Like, nobody's even coming to check my IVs. Like, what's going on? So Alex went downstairs to figure out what's going on. And there was a discrepancy between insurance. So if you remember, it was supposed to be $4,000 USD that we got pre-approved for. Well, the bill only came to like $3,600 or $3,800 USD. And for some reason, the hospital was looking for a new confirmation of payment, even though they already got confirmed for more, which is so ridiculous. So anyways, through all that, Alex is trying to book our flights, like literally like bless his heart, because that day he's really starting to recognize that he thinks that he has the same thing that I do. And he's really not feeling good. Now, he's not throwing up necessarily, but he's having some serious stomach issues. And everything of ours was the same color, I'll put it that way. And he's like, I cannot admit myself. Like, this was an absolute nightmare. I never want to do this ever again. Like, I can't do this. So he ends up just pushing through, like the strong ass Canadian man that he is. Like, bless my heart that I am with him. I'm serious, guys. I would not have been able to make it through myself. Like, so much credit goes to my husband in this, of doing all of the rebooking of the flights, dealing with the insurance, dealing with literally anything that needed to be dealt with. I'm so grateful for him. Now, we finally get everything approved and he comes upstairs and he's like, and it's like 5 o'clock at this point, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, what? He's like, these public relations people literally have bags set up at their front desk that's like a grab-and-go bag to give you. It has 6 different medications in it. One was like to not throw up. One was a painkiller. One was the antibiotic. One was a probiotic. Pedialyte. And then there was one other thing in there that I'm missing, but that's okay. Regardless, though, like they should not be the ones giving that with the instructions. Like that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like these guys are not medical professionals. And he's like, there's bags of them just lined up. We're like, there's something weird to this. So I started doing my own research and I ended up finding out that Forbes recently did a like world study on the places that people travel to that you're most likely to get sick. And the Dominican Republic is number one. Looking at things, actually, maybe I'll get into that after. We're almost wrapping up this story. But we end up taking a cab back to the hotel. We paid out of pocket. Luckily, they kept our hotel room, but they hosed us $750 for another night. Now, Alex was able to get flights. So this was Saturday, the day that we were supposed to leave. It was like supper time. We were only going to stay for another day because we needed to get flights out on the Sunday because we were not staying an extra day after that. And the flights one way for two of us were $3,500. That is absolutely insane. The Dominican is actually really reasonable to fly to, especially round trip. Like you can find deals anywhere from like just under $1,000 to maybe $1,500. Okay. So $3,500 for one way for two people is insane. But luckily we had the money or else we would have been stuck there, which is why it's so important, guys, that you don't spend all of your money and then decide to go on a trip because you spent all your money on the trip. Because you never know what you're going to run into, no matter how careful you are, no matter how much you don't drink the water, because no, we were not drinking the water. There's tons of bacterial infections that are found in their water that make people sick, but they also have really shitty food practices. You know, we ate this really old noodle chicken salad the night before that we got violently ill. And I'm wondering if that's where it came from. Now, there's just so many things that it could come from. Now, regardless though, we end up making it back. And as we were leaving, you know, I'm still not feeling good. You don't really want to eat the food at the resort and you just want to get home at that point. And what are the chances that the conveyor belt for the suitcases ends up breaking? It puts us like an hour and some behind on our flight back, which is really stressful because we had a layover in Toronto where we had limited time to be able to get on our flight back home to Saskatchewan. Now, we've already been through enough at this point, right? We are exhausted. We're like, come on, because they needed to individually check everybody's bags before they would let them go. So we are just mind blown at this point, but we're like, it's fine. We just probably will not be back to the Dominican. And if anything else is stolen out of our bags, like, right? So regardless, we ended up making it back home. The plane ride sucked, especially the second one. Like it was such a small plane. I'm like, what they do to anybody who has a little bit of weight to them, a little bit of height to them is disgusting. We didn't even get snacks on the way back on the one plane. I'm like, what are you getting paid for at this point for thousands of dollars? And you smush so many people onto these planes. But regardless, I am so grateful for the experience because these are things that grow you. Okay. So I will just note that once we got back, my husband, while we were there, he was complaining that his lungs were kind of bothering him. And we were thinking, you know, whatever, we're on vacation. Sometimes these things happen. It wasn't anything serious, but it started to get really serious once he got back. So he went to the doctor. We got back like early Monday morning. He went into work on the Tuesday to Friday and then went in for a doctor's appointment. The doctor just kind of sloughed him off, didn't do any examining. And within days, he was so, so sick. Like I have not seen Alex this sick ever. He had body chills. He had a fever. He would go from shivering to extremely hot, you know, no energy. Ended up having to miss more work, which was already so sad after a 2-week vacation, an extra day off that you didn't anticipate from me being sick. And it took us weeks to get back to feeling like where we should be. I went to the doctor myself. He wouldn't test me to see what the bacteria was, which was unfortunate. He just said what they gave you was real medication, because that was my first question. He looked at my arm and the paramedic damaged my vein. So when he put that in and I swore at him, it wasn't just me being overdramatic. He actually, I think it's like puncturing your vein. I'm not sure the exact terminology, but she was bruised and so, so sore. And I was so scared flying with it because, you know, you get nervous about blood clots and things like that. But we made it back home. We made it safe. I'm putting through all the insurance claims, which has been a lot of work. But all I can say, guys, is do not travel without insurance. Do not travel without extra money. These things are really important because you genuinely don't know what's going to happen. You can be so, no matter where you go, like even if you're going from Canada to the US, US to Canada, like things change. You can easily get sick. Sometimes we're under the weather when we're traveling. So it's just really important that you do your research. You're smart about it. You bring extra meds if you can. You know, you stay on top of your hydration. You stay on top of proper practices of making sure that you're washing your hands. Be careful of any fish or raw food, like raw seafood. Make sure that you're careful with even fruits, which is crazy, that are open and exposed, you know, bananas and things like that, that have peels on them. You're going to be much more likely to be safe with. And just at the end of the day, just understand that anything can happen. But I also just want to say, don't let this scare you from traveling. You know, we went and did some research and people at the same time as us were experiencing the same time or the same symptoms as what we were. Many people going to the hospital with bacterial infections, people stuck in their rooms due to the bacterial infections. There was even somebody who ended up saying that they were struggling with their lungs as well too. And when I was doing some research into it, there's a lot of different viruses that are around. And what one that makes sense to me is, I think it's called the adenovirus. And it can have back, or it can have stomach issues and lung issues. And I can't help but wonder if that's what happened with Alex, is that he started with stomach issues. They just weren't as severe and they kind of worked their way up to his lungs. I can't help but wonder if us not feeling good on the Thursday, if we were already potentially feeling symptoms of what was about to come. I'm so grateful that we didn't go on that excursion. I'm so grateful that we didn't promise that we were going to go on that long boat ride on the Friday to Sanoa. And I just am so grateful for how everything worked out in a really, you know, in a really crazy situation. It was scary at points. Was I terrified? No, because I know that there's responsibilities that these countries have to uphold in regards to their tourism. And this is just life, guys. You know, I get sick at home. I've been to the hospital at home. I've been in an ambulance at home. And these things are just going to happen. So I want you to hopefully get a lot of lessons from this story. I hope you found it very interesting. And I hope that this just allows you to become that much more of a smart traveler. That's what it really comes down to. You know, if something tastes off, don't continue eating it, right? If you can tell that something's been sitting out for a really long time, don't eat it. Don't risk the water while you're brushing your teeth. You know, be really careful while you're showering, because so many of us let water run into our mouths. It's natural. These are things that we do every day. And sometimes you forget that you're in a different country where you can't do those types of things, right? So especially if you're drinking, make sure that you stay hydrated. But it was not that I overdrank that night and gave myself the world's worst hangover. It was that I literally had a severe, they called it acute gastrointestinal infection. And I had, they called it moderate dehydration. So if that was just moderate and not severe, I can't even imagine what severe was like. But I believe that I was severe at the medical center and that it went to moderate by the time that I made it to the hospital, already had some saline solution going into me. So if you guys have any questions about this episode, make sure to let me know. If you have any traveling questions, you know, what it's like to go and experience these things, and you know, even if you are scared to travel, talk to me, okay? Because you cannot hold yourself back in life in regards to what ifs, because there's always going to be what ifs, you know? Just like I get nervous flying a plane, I can turn that nervousness into excitement. It all comes down to how I choose to look at it. And at the end of the day, this is not going to stop me from traveling. Is the Dominican going to be the next place on our travel list? Probably not. But, you know, got sick in Mexico, got sick in the Dominican. And actually, when I was in the States, that is when I had, when I ended up having what is believed to be my first shellfish allergy. So we're going to still try to test out in the future if there is an actual allergy, simply for the fact of when I got the test done. You know, typically your allergy tests show up right away as hives. He did my regular allergies on the one side, food allergies on the other, and my shellfish allergy didn't end up showing up until more than 24 hours later, lasted for 2 days. So he just said that chances are you're allergic, you should stay away from it. But when it comes to shellfish, they're bottom feeders. You know, you could be allergic to the bacteria that they uptook. So it's one of those things where I'm willing to try it out in the future. But every single place that I've traveled thus far, I have gotten sick once, but that's not going to stop me. This is life. Life goes on. I love traveling. I love experiencing new places. The Dominican is beautiful. I do not want to stop anybody from going there. You know, the people can be really great. It's just a very loud country. There's a lot of garbage and the beaches are phenomenal. The weather's hit and miss. The food to me on resort was eh. But I've heard many people going out and experiencing the actual city and that the food's phenomenal. So there's give and takes to every single place that you go. People have different opinions. People have different experiences, which is why I do not want this story to scare you. So I just want to thank you guys for tuning into this episode. You know that I will catch you on the next one. And just remember, love always wins.
And that's another honest episode dropped. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Naked in Truth, where we come together every Monday morning to set the week off with intention. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram page at Naked in Truth Podcast to stay up to date on future episodes, guest speakers, and other kick-ass info that can help you continue to create your impact. And you know that reviews are so valuable when it comes to building a community of like-minded people. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please drop some love on Apple Podcast reviews and share this episode with someone who you think needs it. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into today's episode. I'll catch you next Monday. And don't forget, love always wins.